day of on Christmas Eve, we'll have a 7 o'clock service and look forward to friends and the church body gathering during those times. We also want to thank those that participated and were part of the Christmas program. It was such a joyous time celebrating the birth of Jesus during our Sunday school hour. We want to highlight just a few opportunities for you to go Christmas caroling. So next Sunday, right after the second service, this service, there'll be light refreshments in the Oak Room, I believe. Yes, the Oak Room. And then we'll depart and go to shut-ins to sing Christmas carols. And then that evening, we would ask you gather at the cafe, and we'll go through Bethel and sing carols as well. So next Sunday, all afternoon into the evening hours, we can sing the carols of Christmas and bring about cheer for our community and those that are shut in. We also just want to highlight that exercise class is canceled this week, and we just want to highlight too that the Children's Christmas Project, if you haven't seen in your bulletin, it's Reach Out and Read program, and that's through the Wellspan Good Samaritan Family Practice, who will be presenting new or gently used books to of preschool or elementary age appropriate books, and that's until next Sunday. So we encourage you, if you haven't had an opportunity to pick up some gently used or new books for that Christmas project, we really, really appreciate that, and that is on behalf of the Christian education team. We also just want to highlight the men's breakfast on this Saturday, 7 a.m., Blue Star Men's Ministry Prayer Breakfast, 7 a.m. on this Saturday. And that night, the Young Family Fellowship, we actually just decided this morning we're going to be going bowling. So the 6 p.m., we'll set a date, and we'll get that information out to the young families where we'll be going bowling on the 17th next Saturday as well. Bible study this week is the women's Bible study, so we want to highlight that's in the pastor's office from 7 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday evening, and that's the second and fourth for the ladies and first and third for the men. So be sure to come out for Bible studies in the pastor's office from 7 to 8 those Wednesdays. Any other announcements you'd like to highlight? We are looking for baked goods for after the cafe going Christmas caroling in the community. We'll gather at the cafe. Any cookies that you'd be willing to bake for us, just let Denise know and she'll collect those and get those to the cafe. And we appreciate all those that support in those causes to have cookies available for refreshment afterwards. Yes, Burl, another announcement. Any other announcements this morning? Again, thank you for joining us here at Little Swatara. During this time, we'll have silent reflection as the third Advent candle is lit, followed by a responsive prayer you'll find on the back of your bulletin. O God, as people who often wander in darkness, we notice that your light is growing in the world. We witness your lively action in our midst. Lord, we'll be ever thankful. Creator God, we have walked in dry places and have stumbled in the wilderness. But now, look, blossoms are appearing where there was only brown barrenness. In the Lord, we'll be ever thankful. Redeemer God, we have felt weak in body and spirit. Discouragement and fear have been with us, but we hear your song of hope around us and in our souls. We will take heart and be strengthened in spirit, in the Lord. Sometimes we've ignored your presence, Holy One, but now our eyes have clear vision and our eyes are open to your good news. We praise you, Tender One, that your mercy frees us from exile. We rejoice in all the ways you restore us with hope and courage. May fears and sorrows vanish as we put our trust in you.
Please rise and join us in our opening worship.
Seated. At this time, we invite you to share in any joys or concerns that you may have this morning. We continue to lift up those families that are mourning today, the Gerhardt Reinhardt family, and also the Catherine Wenger family. Any other prayer requests you'd like us to lift up this morning?
I think it's so exciting to see the praise team growing. Sounds great.
Thank you. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the love that you pour out upon us each day. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the compassion that we know. We thank you most of all, Father, for the reason for this season, your Son, Jesus Christ, being born that we might know what it means to have salvation. We thank you, Father, for forgiveness. We thank you for grace. We thank you for brothers and sisters that are gathered here this morning and those throughout our community and throughout our world. We thank you that you are a God that is all-knowing. You know precisely what's happening in our lives at this very moment, and you deeply care. So we come before you, Father, and we just specifically ask for those that are mourning the loss of loved ones. Whether recent or whether years past, this time of year can be quite difficult. And we just pray, Father, your presence would be felt in very real ways. Your comfort would be upon us, and we would know your peace. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to know your comfort in a very, very real way. We pray, Father, for Rufus and Dorothy Murky, for John and Ruth Hoover. We think of Carl and Faye Balsbaugh and Sandy Kaufman, and Dorothy Renninger and Linda Ziegler and Earl Miller. And we lift up Carol and Pete Sanchez and just continue to think of those that are recovering from various surgeries. And we just uplift them and pray for your strength and for your guidance as they go through that recovery process. We think of those that are facing upcoming surgeries and those that have been dealing with illness for a lifetime and suffer daily and are indeed in pain. And we just pray, Father, that you would relieve that pain if it be your will. We pray, Father, you would bring strength and just bring encouragement in those times when we struggle the most. For we know that you uplift us and that your grace is sufficient. So, Father, now we just come before you recognizing that your Son was born as a baby, but through his journey, he went to the cross. And it's on that cross we find forgiveness. It's in that empty tomb that we're set free from sin and death. So, Father, hear our prayers of confession of those sins that have crept into our lives this week. Help us, Father, to turn from them and also hear the prayers of our heart. Father, we continue in our daily lives to strive to live the life that you set forth for us through your example. We pray for the words that come from our mouths. We pray for the actions that come from our hands. And we ask, Father, we would indeed be a people of peace, that we would comfort others, we would uplift others, and we would show your love, we would shine your light. And we would allow that good news to go forth that there is hope through your Son, Jesus, in this world where we see a lot of hate, where we see a lot of violence. And we just pray, Father, that your peace would be known. We thank you, Father, for each one here this morning. Bless them greatly. Allow them to know your presence. And may you be a spirit upon us, guiding us each day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Indeed, serve a great God, a God great enough to care for the smallest details of our lives. And we come before him now offering our tithes and offerings, knowing that it goes to further his kingdom to be used for his glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the gifts that we are able to give cheerfully this morning. We know, Father, that you care about every single need in our lives, and you every single day have a way of providing for them. So we thank you, Father, for the gifts, and we thank you for the giver. We thank you, Father, for the greatest gift that's ever been given, your Son, Jesus. And we give this morning knowing the love that we pour out through our offering. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's only by your blood, it's only through your blood. Have any of you ever wished upon a star?
Yeah.
Yeah? Has any of your wishes ever came true?
No.
No? When I was younger, there was a rhyme that I used to say when the sky began to get dark, and I saw the first star. The rhyme went like this: starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight. When I finished saying the rhyme, I would close my eyes and make my wish. Do you think my wish ever came true? I don't remember if they did or not. Some of them did. They probably did. But I don't think the star had anything to do with it. The people who lived in Jesus' day were watching and waiting for the Messiah to come. Many of them watched the stars. Do you think the star ever showed? You think the star showed up?
Yeah.
Yeah? A star appeared to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. Who went to find this? Who went and followed the star? That's right, the three wise men. They went to find the Christ child. But for many years after that, people still watched and waited. In our Bible reading today, John the Baptist is in prison. He heard reports about the things that Jesus was doing, so he was sent followers to ask Jesus, "Are you the one we've been waiting for, or should we continue to look for someone else?" John told them, "Go back and tell John what you have heard and seen, and heard the blind will see, the lame will walk, and the lepers will be cured, the deaf will hear, and even the dead will be raised to life." One of the names given to Jesus is Bright Morning Star. Have you ever heard him being called that? Jesus is not a wishing star like we all, you know, like the stars in the sky. He's not like that. He is the star of hope. Our hope is the living God, who is the Savior of all people. Let's pray. Dear God, as we see the many stars in the decorations of this season, may we be reminded that Jesus is the bright morning star, and that when we put our hope and trust in him, our future is secure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys go back to your seats.
As we sing Go Tell It on the Mountain, we're sharing God's love.
Silent Cross.
Thank you, praise team, for leading us in worship this morning. There's a story about a philosopher who took a stroll one day pondering the meaning of life. With messy hair and ragged clothes, he wandered through the rain in dimly lit streets with a state of deep reflection. The police had taken notice to him and they thought he looked rather suspicious. So they cornered him, saying, "Who are you? And where are you going?" To which the philosopher replies, "Those are the very questions I'm trying to answer. Can you help me?" Many of us will spend a lifetime trying to figure out who we are, let alone knowing where we're going. When we consider these questions, it might be second nature to say, "I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm a father, a mother, a grandparent, a brother, a sister, or an aunt or uncle." It may be in what we do that defines us. "I'm a teacher, a mechanic, a welder, I'm a business owner, I'm an organist, a singer, or a guitar player, I'm a student, a soccer, a basketball, a volleyball player." But how many of us, when we really think about this question, consider that you're a follower of Christ? You see, friends, it's then when you define yourselves as a follower of Christ that you begin to have more meaning and more purpose. It changes everything in the way that we act, the way that we speak, and the way we respond to Christmas. Suddenly, it's not about the gifts that are under the tree. It's about the greatest gift giver and the greatest gift ever given. It's not a Christmas where we open that present and find nothing in the box, for we recognize that Jesus was born that day. As followers of Christ, we find that new life through the baby that's been born. May we be comforted this morning knowing that we are children of God and that we know where we're going, a journey toward our eternal home. You see, where we go hinges on what we know, and who we know tells us who we are. Hidden with Christ, righteous and holy, a citizen of heaven, we are an expression of the life of Christ because He is our life. The moment that we live in right now has often been referred to as the dash between our date of birth and our date of death. And friends, please hear this. What you do in your dash matters. So perhaps this morning, we gather and we're rather broken. We're rather torn to pieces. We see ourselves with little value of having not much worth. And that'll lead us to this other question this morning, a question on a level of eternal significance. Is Christ enough? Or should we expect something or someone else? Is there an additional aspect to life we're not seeing, we're not experiencing, we're missing out on? Do we feel perhaps like Adam and Eve in the garden who was coerced by the serpent to feel they were being left out in knowing more? Do we feel like that child in the Christmas program forced to participate by his parents? In every practice, he would mutter things like, "How can people believe that Jesus is the Son of God? What makes everyone believe he is the Messiah and the way to heaven?" And finally, one practice, a little girl had enough and she speaks up and she says, "We believe it because the song says it." "What song are you talking about?" says the teenager. "You know what song, the one that goes away in a manger." Friends, we didn't laugh, but there comes a time where we need to be somewhat serious. Have we concluded this Christmas Jesus was born to be the Messiah? The anointed one, prophet, priest, and king, the chosen one of God, the promised deliverer, savior, and redeemer. Or do we still think someone else is coming? These Old Testament prophecies were not actually fulfilled in this person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, even the possibility of their accidental convergence on an ordinary man is completely ruled out by the laws of probability. Yet, this is the very question we're dealing with in our passage today from Matthew 11, 2 through 11. I'd invite you to turn there in your Bibles found in the pew in front of you, or you may also follow along on the screen. Matthew 11, 2 through 11. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, and who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the meaning that is found in this text, that a Messiah has come. We pray this morning your spirit would open our hearts, open our minds to receive your message. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. John knew that the Messiah, or in the Greek language, the Christ, was going to come as God's anointed deliverer and ruler. What he wants to know here in our passage is whether Jesus was indeed the Christ. It's a puzzling question at face value, especially coming from John, who earlier we hear him saying about Jesus, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel.'" Then John gives the testimony, "I saw the Spirit of God come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testify that he is the Son of God.'" So why in the world does John need further evidence of Christ's credentials as the promised Messiah if he's already previously convinced? Some say that John became discouraged while he was stuck in prison. He needed assurance. Friends, even the most rock-solid people of faith become discouraged. So we can't totally rule this out. Even our dear friend Charlie Brown says it to Lucy. "Nobody likes me, Lucy. Everybody hates my guts. Do you see that plane up there, Lucy? It's a plane full of people going somewhere else. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to go somewhere else, somewhere where nobody knows me. Then with new people, I could get a fresh start. Do you think that's what I ought to do, Lucy? Go get a fresh start with new people who don't know me?" And Lucy, like kicking Charlie Brown's football into the stratosphere, responds, "Forget it, Charlie Brown, forget it. Once the new people got to know you, you'd be right back where you started from." You see, this isn't characteristic of John. It'd be like me standing here saying, "You know, I really don't like chocolate. Forget about putting that peanut butter on top of the cake, let alone the applesauce I've come to love. And you know, I'm a diehard Eagles fan, but how about them Cowboys?" It just doesn't make sense. Something seems to be up. John wandered the wilderness. He knew what it was like to be in need, to feel alone. Discouragement very well could have been normal to him. Well, there's others that have suggested John sent his followers to Jesus with this question for their benefit. Maybe. But if we read the scripture again, there's no such way that that lines up. So there's a third and rather believable explanation for John's question. Could it be Jesus was not carrying out his ministry the way John envisioned the Messiah would have? Remember, John's mission had the distinct characteristic of judgment, while Christ's ministry had the distinction of mercy. Perhaps John is bewildered, confused, perplexed. His genuine Old Testament view of things may have caused his perception of the Messiah to be out of line. You can hear it now. Why hasn't Jesus called down the wrath of God on these sinners? Why hasn't the King of Kings overthrown the oppressors of Roman tyranny? Why hasn't Jesus abolished this hypocritical religious law? Now, if we look closely at the content of John's preaching and character of his lifestyle, this is quite a plausible scenario. The purpose of John's ministry was to prepare the way for the Messiah. He certainly did a wonderful job convincing people they were sinners in need of a Savior. But knowing that we're sinners is only part of the question. If we're left with that truth alone, we're still left wondering where we are going. You see, John was born of the priestly line and was also a prophet. But the work of human priests and prophets is not enough to deliver the world from their sins. Mankind must have a Savior. John, like the prophets before him, wanted to know how the Messiah would be king, yet still have to suffer. Christ's answer for John is an answer for us this morning. Listening closely again to verses 4 to 6, Jesus is replying, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Friends, we just heard and saw the answer. Christ is enough. There is no one more. If we choose to live our lives for Christ, we don't do so as a kind gesture. We do so because we know the true meaning of Christmas. That life is in response to this incredible act of love given in the form of a baby. The real Christmas story is the story of God becoming a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, they say a skeptic is a person who, when he sees the handwriting on the wall, still claims that it's forgery. It boggles my mind that people think God is dead, yet Elvis is alive. Friends, when we have too much Old Testament flavor or zest to our Christianity, the evidence Jesus listed in his answer to John are only acts of compassion. Feeding the 4,000, the 5,000, Jesus only sees hurting people and heals their hurts. But we must remember the miracles of his public ministry point toward the cross. For we know, we are comforted this morning, brothers and sisters, that he will deal with mankind's greatest problem, sin and death. And we wonder what motivated him. It was his love. It was his grace for each of us. This baby being born in a manger allows us to escape God's wrath. Let us not lose sight of the fact that the Son of God left the splendor, left the beauty, the glory, the holiness and wonder, and mind you, perfection of heaven to come here among us, sinners in the dirt, the filth, and the troubles of this world. We all know the day of judgment will one day arrive. But for now, we continue in the days of grace. Our need is not to judge anyone, but rather to extend God's offer of forgiveness. But there's still one more part of Christ's answer to our question, is he enough, that we cannot overlook. You remember verse 6 read, "Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." The Greek word for fall away is scandalizo, which we derive from our English word scandal. It literally means to trip up, to stumble. So in effect, here's what Jesus is saying to John. Don't stumble over my willingness to heal, forgive, and have compassion on people. There will be a time for judgment, but now is the time for grace. Friends, this says a lot about our ministry initiatives. Those who may not know Jesus need to know that there is hope, that there is forgiveness. Friends, we need the prophetic ministry of John the Baptist, but it is not enough. We need to know that Christ is enough. We're not waiting for anyone else. He alone offers us the forgiveness of sin through his death on the cross. Lee Strobel says it so well in his book, The Case for Christmas. We celebrate because, as the angel said, the birth of Jesus Christ is good news. In fact, the angel said the news of Jesus' birth would cause great joy and would be for all people. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. In celebrating Christmas, we celebrate the Savior in whom all of God's promises are yes and amen, who in humility takes on the very nature of a servant for our sake. We celebrate by giving gifts because of the indescribable gift given to us. We string lights knowing that the light of the world has come. The carols that we sing are expressions of our joy. Those trees decorated with stars and angels and tinsel remind us of the eternal life Jesus brings and the beauty associated with Jesus' birth. In celebrating this Christmas, we celebrate the greatest gift of love. Is Christ enough? The answer to our question is evident. As the praise team comes forward for our closing songs, would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this indescribable gift. We thank you for the days of grace that we live in. And though we sin, we know that there is forgiveness. And Father, we thank you for sending your Son to be born as a baby, that he might know the conditions we live in. He might know the struggles we endure. But his time as a baby did not end. He went on to be a minister among us, to show us his miracles, to reveal his love and his compassion and his mercy. And we pray, Father, we would be those people to the world around us. Cover us in grace. Allow us to be filled with your peace. And let us continue to show your hope to this world. Thank you, Father, for loving us that much to send your one and only Son. Amen.
Please rise and join us in closing worship of Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, when found in a desert place, the walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name. Blessed be your name, Lord, the Lord.
round of applause this morning for the greatest gift that he's ever given us through his son, Jesus Christ. May we proclaim the good news to this world where there are lost people who are looking for hope. May we be peace to someone who's in conflict. May we know that this life comes to pass and that one day we will meet our Savior face to face. May we live blessing his name. May we live striving to be like his son. May we go in peace. May we go knowing God goes with us. Amen and amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.